Hello, everybody. Welcome to the 100-Year Real Estate Investor. Your host, Jake Ingenio. And this is the show dedicated to long-term personal financial engineering. Gino, how's it going?
Jake, I'm doing good today. We're going to be talking about a couple of topics here. We're going to veer off topic. We're going to be talking about the 4% rule, but we're going to throw in a little stuff that my boy made me watch. He made me watch a documentary, and it's mind-blowing.
PBS, nonetheless.
But the thing about it is it shows you the history of what happened and what's going to happen. So I think it's really incumbent upon, as you're listening to this show, be like, wow, these guys have been through a cycle already. They know the cycle's coming. What do we need to do to protect ourselves from this onslaught that is going to be quickly approaching?
Yep, and it's not sexy, and it involves discipline. So we'll see if you if you don't like that, you might want to exit right now, and that's okay too. But so Gino, you were literally educating me before the show on the 4% rule and how much you need to save for retirement. So why don't you do the honors and tee it up for the folks out there?
So I'm going to read it because that doesn't really make sense to me why anyone would do this with their portfolio.
But I was like, what?
I'm just going to.
That's risky.
All right. Go ahead. This is all about Wall Street. This is about them controlling your money. That's just the reality. Why do we get the 401k? The defined benefits was great back in the 60s and 70s. But you know what? Wall Street wanted your money. So they created the 401k. They created the 529. But the 4% rule, you add up all of your investments and withdraw 4% of that total during your first year of retirement. In subsequent years, you adjust the dollar amount you withdraw to account for inflation. That's great. Account for inflation. So all of a sudden, 4% is not there anymore. Guess you're accounting for inflation. You know, so that means what? This year, your inflation is 10%.
Give a dollar example. Like, use $1 million. Give the $1 million example.
Yeah. By following this formula, you should have a very high probability of not outliving your money during a 30-year retirement, according to the rule. Please. Take me now. I got no more money. So basically, if you got $1 million, they're telling you take 4% of that. You could withdraw $40,000 out of that thing. And
$1 million is a decent amount of money. And probably, I don't know, 50% of Americans by the time they retire have $1 million, right? Is that maybe it's less? I don't know.
It's a lot less than that. I mean,
it's a lot less.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
But it's not a ton of money, though, anymore, is the point that I'm making. And if you've been able to save up to $1 million, right? And let's just use that as the nut because it's easy. You've saved $1 million. Now you're ready to retire. Do you think you were making $40,000 a year previously to get to that $1 million mark? I'm going to tell you right now, the answer is no. And you're going to be bleeping miserable. I'm not going to say effing right now, but you're going to be bleeping miserable trying to live off of 40 grand a year till you die. That sounds like the complete opposite of the abundance mindset. It sounds like jail time. It sounds like misery. It sounds like nothing that I want any piece or a part of. So why the hell is this even a thing? And who the hell in their right mind thinks this is a good thing or going to work for anybody? And what's wrong with working a little bit longer?
I think there's a couple of things, and you already stole one of my.
Sorry,
of my
I just cons. I don't. The minute you explained this to me, I threw up in my mouth. I got that acid reflux right behind my tongue, and it started to burn. I had to run and get a Tums, and one wasn't enough. I had to get four.
Right there?
four Tums for the 4% rule because I puked.
Well, this
is not good. I'm sorry. This is bad.
This is the pizza guy and drug rep.
This is the fire thing. What's the fire movement that you're telling me about? Go live in a little stick cabin by the woods. You know what I'm saying? Or by the river. Well, this is stupid.
If you really think about it, there's a movement in this country to start dwindling people's abundance mindsets and to actually try to live with less. Let's live in a 300 square foot apartment. Let's have a tiny home. I got 6 kids. I don't want a tiny home.
Out of my closet.
Yeah, I don't want that. But what you just said is really important. And I think it was made for simplicity. People want simple answers. If you tell them, hey, take 4% out of what your portfolio and you can live, that's something that somebody can comprehend. But that's really baseline. A couple of reasons why, to me, it makes no sense and it doesn't work. Jake nailed it when he talks about the scarcity mindset.
This is not going to cover my wife's damn Amazon bill for the week. It's $769 a week, all right?
SAT, baby. Starbucks, Amazon, Target. You forgot about the three, right?
Maybe it covers her Amazon bill, but it ain't covering Target and Starbucks. I'm going to tell you that much right now. Throw a little gas on there. We're in the poorhouse, all right?
Well, just saying. You said it, you're taught your whole life to save. All of a sudden you got this little nest pile over here of money. And now you're saying, I got to withdraw it. That's the ultimate scarcity mindset. You'll feel so bad trying to withdraw that money. And then all of a sudden you need to pull out 4%. That's the scarcity.
Gino, get back in there and turn the lights off. Gino, turn the temperature down. Gino, better layer up. It's getting cold out, Gino. Gino, don't turn that AC on. You're in Florida, Gino. Gino, you better get a smaller house, Gino. Gino, you better get down and live by the river, Gino.
We're going to early bird.
We're not doing propane tonight. We're going to get some sticks and we're going to make a campfire, Gino. That's how we're cooking our beans, Gino. Who wants this shit?
You're killing me. It's sad because that's how Wall Street's training us right now. They're training us to say, let's save for an event. Like we keep saying it, save to buy an asset that will pay for the event. You don't have a net worth problem at retirement. You have a cash flow problem at retirement. How do you solve that? We love whole life. If you're buying whole life today, you're putting money into it for the next 10, 15, 20 years. Towards the end, you can start pulling that money out. We're talking about nothing. You don't have to time the market. Right now, if you're living on the 4% rule and next 2 years.
You can take that money out and go buy an asset.
Yes.
To pay for another event. Okay.
Yes.
You don't need to live off and dwindle. Okay. Don't work your way down to nothing. Don't wear it to the bone. This is stupid.
Jake hates touching principle. I totally get that. But think about it. If the next 2 years you need to retire, or if it was 2008 to 2011 and you need to retire and you're working on the 4% rule where you're working in a market that's imploding, this whole 4% thing works upon historical returns. Well, what did the market do historically at 8% for the last 30 years? Yeah, that doesn't take into account fees, doesn't take into account market timing. If you pull the market out today and all of a sudden the market runs up 30%, you're done.
Gino, let's talk historicals for the last 20 years. You got 9/11. You got the 08 crash. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
You got COVID. You got the bullshit we're dealing with now. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's all typical. And you know, maybe it is. But if you're planning, okay, to live off 4%, and then you're going to weather four storms in 20 years like this, mm-hmm. you're smoking crack. Okay. Mm-hmm. You're nuts. This mm-hmm. is not going to work.
Yes. And it doesn't work. I mean, it includes a high level of confidence that your portfolio will last for 30-year period. So you're saying to yourself, oh, I'm going to last the 30-year period. Jake just named four life-changing events in the last 20 years. So can you imagine if you tried to retire during that
30-year period? What are we in for next year?
You're, and then they're talking about, like, as you get older, you're going to start putting more less stocks and more bonds. Well, I mean, what's happening with the bond market right now all of a sudden? I mean, it's insane what you're trying to allocate stuff. For us, it doesn't even include taxes and investment fees. What about, you know, your things? You got a tax situation going on. Every time you sell stocks, there's the situation with taxes. You pay taxes, investment fees. What about inflation? Inflation right now is supposed to be transitory. What happened to transitory? Anyone who said inflation was transitory, including the Fed chairman, they should not have a job right now because they lied to us. Either they lied to us or they were stupid. Or ignorant. I'm sorry, not the word ignorant, because these people are much smarter than Jake and Gino. But they were ignorant or they lied to us, and they shouldn't have their jobs. Everyone on CNBC, everyone working in the White House, everyone said it was transitory. And this PBS documentary.
What about your boy Jim Cramer propping up SVP a few weeks before the thing cracked?
A month before. How does that guy have a job? I'm just saying, it's just
he's got a cool button that he hits on his desk. That's what we need, Gino. We're going to get more views if we put a button,
Jake,
on our desk that says the House of Pain.
The inflation transitory thing really bothers you because all of a sudden trying to make these things work. You're trying to make your portfolio
work.
What
if you're like budgeting and planning your finances based on the Fed chair saying the inflation is transitory?
Yes. You're going to do a lot of
different
stuff.
That seems a little criminal.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. I'm not trying to be hysterical here, but that seems a little criminal to me.
And while we're on this, the documentary is called The Age of Money, The Age of Easy Money.
It's really
money.
Good.
And
it's really good.
What I love about it, there's a quote here that I want to read to everybody because this is so important for people to understand what happened. The Federal Reserve was changed from the central bank that manages the currency. They either it's quantitative easing, that's easy. That's what they've been doing. They're either inject or they buy stuff, buy bonds back. So they're managing the currency. Now, all of a sudden, to be the primary engine of economic growth in America. And why do they do that? Because the political class is so incompetent and they're so inept that they can't do it. So it's pushed upon the Federal Reserve. So whether you like it or you don't, that's the reality of it. And
I'm calling bullshit on that, though, because you know what I like more than anything out of the federal government? Inaction and nothing happening. Everyone's screaming, oh, they got to do this. They got to do that. Do less. We don't need you. OK, get out of the way and let things settle down a little bit. And everyone's like, well, the Fed's not doing government's not doing anything. So then they put it upon these 12 people to basically rescue, save, bail out. No one can fail anymore.
That's
if
right.
No one can fail anymore, you're going to keep kicking the can down the road until you blow something the F up. OK, and that's where we're headed, folks. They will not let anything fail. They got to keep propping up and kicking the can down the road because everyone's a hero. Everyone gets a trophy. And that's the society that we've created over the last few years. Now you have 12 people, the Knights of the Round Table, the Secret Society, Freemasons, dictating and being these masters of the universe, trying to control our lives. And they will not let anything happen in a free market. what the hell are we doing? We got digit coins, this. Everything's a number. No one's got any physical assets unless you own real estate. This shit's getting nuts.
Well, let's explain to them what ended up happening, how we've gotten to this point and how we can actually help ourselves. So with all this speculation, the Fed dropped rates to zero. And when you drop rates to zero and money is cheap
and keep
as it
them
has
there.
Been, and keep them
when
there.
When you don't need to.
It causes speculation, rampant fraud. You can talk Sam Bankman-Fried. You can talk. So it was Bernie Madoff back in 08.
And rampant inflation and the printing of the money that didn't need to be printed.
Yes. And
through COVID, post-COVID, and then we got to have the inflation bailout. How is this not at some point become money laundering? I'm sorry.
And then the point that I'm trying to make also is when they said it was transitory, that's when they should have started raising rates slowly. If they had started doing that.
And stop printing the money.
Yeah, and instead of like going like from whatever to 6% in like the record time, that's what shocked banks like SVP because they went long on bonds. They didn't know rates were going to shoot up that quickly. If it had been slower progression.
They were like, the Fed's not going to do it. Fed's not going to raise rates.
Yes.
We're going to keep cash flow coming in.
But everyone thought it was transitory, but Jake and Gino knew that inflation was here to stay and it's only going to get worse with the $4 trillion plus that's out there. And a lot of it still hasn't even been spent. So what do we need to do now? We understand that rates are going to go up right now. What you need to do right now, I think you need to be careful with your cash. I've got money in my whole life policies. I got money spread out into separate accounts that doesn't exceed $250,000. I know a lot of wealthy people are buying T-bills. If you're buying T-bills right now, your money's 4.5%. You could put money in there to store short term. I think the long-term play, we've always said it, we do sell multifamily. I think you got to buy assets. The reason why all these assets elevated, crypto, oil, gold, it's all speculative. Money has to go somewhere. So it went to crypto. And then when people realized that was a bunch of crap, there's no intrinsic value in that asset, all of a sudden the speculation went out the bubble and everyone lost their money. And I think for me, long-term, buying cash flow yielding assets like multifamily that are a basic human need, that are a part of the economy. Real estate makes up like 18% of the economy and you need real estate and it's a physical asset and it has tangible benefits and it's also has tax benefits. That's, I think, where we need to continue to start putting our money, our investments, not Wall Street, not crypto, something that's tangible that you can invest in and you can get a yield in every month.
I just want to get this in before I carry on, because this is something that you and I have done from the beginning, and it goes deeper than just buying multifamily. We buy multifamily, but we put long-term fixed rate debt on our deals so we don't end up like SVP. We had deals that we could have refied, paid a prepayment penalty in, you know, the last few years because they were at 4.8%, 5.1%, but they were fixed for 10 or 15 years. And you know what? We were okay. We had people that were inside our organization that were saying, look, you can go refi this out of 3.5 and or you can do like a, you can bridge it or this, that, or the other thing. We're good. We're cash flowing nicely. We're fixed for the long term and we've taken the rate risk off the table. We stagger the rate risk over the long haul. Mm-hmm. This is a key to sound multifamily investing over the long term. Get the rate risk off the table so you don't end up like an SVP. I think it's crucial. And I just wanted to make that point, you know.
And Jake, the other thing I would say is we always joke about baby money soldiers and we love talking about that. I think really right now going forward, every single dollar that comes into your life is a baby money soldier. Learn how to allocate every single dollar. Yes. And what I would say is not all of those baby money soldiers should be put at risk. That's what we were taught in this last 10 years. We were taught you have a dollar, you need to go put that somewhere to earn a yield.
Dude, such
if
a good
not,
point.
And it's cash is trash. Everyone's been saying that. You got to go. How do you know it's a bubble? Everyone was talking about flipping Rolexes. Everyone was talking about flipping cars, right? The exotic car hack. Everyone was buying expensive art. All this money was flowing somewhere. And the Fed created that because they had such low interest rates. When money is that cheap, and on top of it, when it's not even
And you
your
couldn't
own
get
money,
the stuff. And that's why people thought it was worth more because you couldn't get it because everyone was flush.
And that's so important because you don't see what's going on because you guys are not in business. You don't see that there's so much demand for a product, yet the supply chains are choked off and they can't catch up with the demand. And then all of a sudden, so if they had been raising interest rates, people's demand would have waned. And then the supply would have been able to catch up, but they didn't have the fortitude to do that. That's why I was saying, and Jake was saying, this inflation thing is not transitory and it's not going to be unless and until this economy really slows down. But the labor unions don't want that because higher rates, as the AFL president was saying, they don't want higher rates because that causes unemployment. But if you don't have higher rates and slow things down and have asset prices, you know, reset, then all you're doing is create wealth for the top, and the bottom are still going to struggle. So for me, going forward, think of every dollar that you have. Don't put every dollar at risk. Put some of that money aside. We always talk about building a business. We always talk about putting money into whole life policies. We talk about putting money into real estate. We talk about shoring up your insurance for your life, whether it's life insurance, health insurance, disability insurance, whatever that is. That's the moat around the castle that you built. Start looking at that, making sure that that's tight. And don't go by this 4% rule, because you don't know where you're going to be in 10 or 15 years. Continue to get that money, and you're the financial steward. Hire a financial planner that can help you look at your life holistically, see all of your different assets. Let them work in conjunction, but create a plan that's going to work for your personal life. And just don't go blindly give your money to a 401k or to the stock market or Wall Street and say, hey, I don't care. I work this hard. I'm just going to invest in some mutual funds, and that's a day. That's not a way to create wealth and to take care of your own financial plan.
Yeah. And to Gino's point, he was basically alluding to the fact that supply chains were cut off. There was this artificial bubble for everything from cars to Rolexes to whatever. Now, the thing was, gang, it was obvious. Like, it wasn't going to stay that way forever. The supply chain was choked off. People were flush with cash. It drove prices up. Duh. You can clearly see it. Last summer, 2 years ago, when that Corvette C8 came out, my wife wanted one. She went out and bought this neon yellow convertible Stingray.
Badass car, bro.
Sweet
beautiful
car. She was awesome. You know, she was going around. We called it friend maker. All the old guys in town would come up to her and start talking car with her, and she wouldn't know what the hell they were talking about. But anyways, so last summer, though, I was like, shit, you know, this has been fun, but, you know, I think there's, you know, if we get out of it now, these things are going to probably dip in 2023. So we actually went to a dealer, and he gave me way more than I ever thought a dealer would pay for it. We monitored the thing from that point, and he ended up selling it for $15,000 less.
Less.
And that's a dealer. That's a dealer acquiring and then selling because they were so hungry for inventory. And I thought it was going to happen in 2023. So I was about a year early to the game in my mind, but I said, let's just be on the safe side and exit this thing, because we had our fun with it. You know, it was interesting. And then boom, like a month later, the market was crashing. It was nuts. Mm-hmm. So, guys, you know, the key is be patient in whatever market it is. When you see a bubble, when you see this irrational exuberance, take it easy. Take your foot off the gas. Things will pass, because it can't go on forever. And I think when you're in it, it's hard to believe that. And that's why we avoided buying bridge debt deals last year and the year before. Mm-hmm. You just got to be patient and not get out over your skis with this crap. So,
Jake, the last thing before you wrap everything up, I would say to anybody listening to this, if you're retiring in the next 3 to 5 years, or you're really desperate and you need the money in the next 3 to 5 years, really take a look at the stock market, take a look at where your positions are. And, you know, I would say to myself, be wary, because a lot of these stocks have had these artificial run-ups, these stock buyback programs. There's no value being created anymore in our society. They borrow money. The money that they borrow, they buy back their stocks. Stock prices go up. The CEOs get rich, and what happens? The workers don't. So just be wary of the stock market.
And they're not producing shit.
They're not producing shit. And if you're in it for the long term, maybe what I'm saying to you right now is not relevant. But what I would say to you, if you need that money next 3 to 5 years, you're going to start retiring, be careful of where the money is. If you need it, I would liquidate it, put it in some short-term instruments, put it safe, keep it there.
Get those 8-week T-bills.
Yes. And listen, if you want to learn more about whole life, just go to 100YearREI.com. Take a look what we're buying. We call it the dual asset strategy. We have the best of both worlds. Actually, able to use that money today. We're able to borrow that money out of those policies today. If there's an opportunity, you're having the tax advantages. As real estate investors, we're going to have liquidity events when we pass away. So we're actually setting up our estate plans with them as well. We have control. I'm out of the system. If the banks fail, I don't care. My money's in a whole life policy. Don't worry about that.
If Gino decides to be an Iron Road trucker up in Canada, they're not going to freeze his account because it's in a whole life.
That's right, baby. That is exactly right. So there's so many benefits to it. Don't buy into this Wall Street 4% rule or the FIRE or whatever. Go out there and educate yourself and see how that plan works for you. It doesn't work for Jake and Gino. And I know a lot of you listening on this call right now, listening to the podcast, it doesn't work for you also. You just don't know where to turn. And I think right now, go to 100URA.com and go to Jake and Gino as well. Start listening to the other podcasts that we have on the how-to and multifamily, and on, you know, the other 100 real estate shows that we have. It talks about this topic, I think, at a bigger level. And what are the next steps that you need to do? Just go to those websites and those podcasts.
Yeah, because everyone's looking for a safe haven from banks right now. So if you want to get your money out of the system, look, you go out, you get yourself a whole life account, you get a great return, you get safety, you don't got to worry about the bank collapsing, okay? These institutions have around for hundreds of years, mm-hmm. and you're able to then utilize, not only are you getting a great return, you're getting a death benefit on the back end, and then you can repurpose the money when a deal comes your way.
Yes.
So, Gino, this was fun. Got a little cuckoo nutty, but as it always, was. We believe in buying deals for the long term. Think in decades. I'm Jake. He's a G-Daddy, and we make it happen. We'll see you next time.